Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. I am Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. Whether this is your first time or the time, whether you've listened many, many, many times, I have a show for you today. Oh, this show. It's as exquisite as the weather today. We're going to talk about bone loss, but I'm going to give you a slant on this that I assure you, you've never heard before. And I assure you, the root of science will back this up. And I assure you, the things I'm going to bring out today are being practiced already for the advancement and improvement of health everywhere. We just haven't put it in the right perspective yet. So don't use the word bone loss as something you walk into an office with, a doctor's office, concerned about, as if your bone is simply an independent integer in the body, meaning your bone is not really bone. Your bone is just an expression of the overall health of your body. You're reducing bone to calcium and vitamin D and exercise and hormonal balancing. Any of you anywhere can Google up the five or six things you're supposed to do for bone loss. And many of you, I see it every week in the office, are so curious and so sometimes disappointed in the fact that you take your calcium, you take your vitamin C, you balance your hormones, you exercise, you get plenty of rest, you do all these things supposedly that you're supposed to do to build bone, to balance bone, not to lose bone, and somebody tells you you're in bone loss and you're curious. We're going to end that today. Lend me your ears. We're going to end that today. First concept. The bone is where the divine engineering of the human body puts its central junction box, its energy center. It's the reserve bank for the human body. It's just a place where the body puts all of its currency or all of its mineral diversity. And when you, in the totality of your health, begin to go into depletion, when you go into cachexia, when you're not building on the overall or the totality of your health, rather than that you're disappearing or deteriorating in the totality of your health, do you find yourself in bone loss? And there are hundreds of reasons for that, some of which we're going to get into today. But the central point is that we're going to begin to understand the bone like the bank, like a business that's either in the red or in the black. And if it's in the red, you're losing money. If you're losing money in your business, you go to the bank. That bank is your bone. The central bank of the body is where you have your bone and your bone marrow, which we'll get to later. Now, if you're in the black, and you're showing profit, and all the cells of your body are dancing happily and doing what they're supposed to do, and everybody's satisfied, nobody has to go to the bank for the loan. Like down there, say, in Costa Mesa, where business is thriving. Seems to me business there is all in the black. Seems to me it's all happening down there. Because there's been good practice, there's been good financial practice, and you see that representative everywhere you go down there. Now, once you're in the black, your cells do not have to send out electrochemical signals to bone. So the bone can begin to do other things with itself that we're going to get to later. Now, let's look at the reverse of this. Let's work and look at depletion. Let's introduce a couple of words, and I've done this on many, many times before. Let's introduce the words cachexia and anabolism. We say a person is on anabolic steroids. Anabolic simply means something you do to build tissue. And people exist in a balance of anabolism versus catabolism. If you're anabolic, think of your 18-year-old. Think of puberty. Think of the old days. Think of when you could get hit in a football game, bounce up off the floor, and run away. And think of going through that same type of physical abuse today, and all your bones would be broken. Young people are in an anabolic phase. They're growing tissue. Puberty is the great anabolic moment. Then there's catabolism. Catabolism is when, on the overall, you're breaking down your tissues. Why are you breaking down your tissues? Why are you dissolving bone? Why are you dissolving muscle? Why are you spending up all your soft tissue calcium? Why are you dissolving fat? People hit points where, because of stress and a whole multitude of other concerns, they cannot support the ecosystem in their body, and so they have to go to the central bank, and that's bone. So when you walk into the doctor's office and you're so concerned about your bone loss, when you write it down on your list and you say, okay, we've discussed everything else, now we have to begin to discuss, doctor, our issues about my bone loss. That's not what you're going to say anymore. What you're going to do is understand that what you're really saying is, what in my checklist, in my portfolio of health concerns, what on my list of what I know I'm supposed to do to improve my health, could I spend more time or more money or more energy doing? Because that's the answer to your question. There are 6 or 7 things everybody's going to tell you you're supposed to do to take care of your bones. And relative to the general foundational things you do day to day to promote your health, calcium and sunshine and vitamin D and hormonal balancing and exercise, you have to understand these are satellites around a more fundamental concept. Let's talk about pH. pH is supposed to tell us whether or not the fluid in the cells is acid or alkaline. And as you know, the body works in a buffer system, meaning the body to keep the pH alkaline, which means to keep the oxygen gates and flow of oxygen off the back of the calcium ion optimal, we have to have enough calcium in the blood, in the intercellular fluid, to make sure that the cell can take an adequate amount of oxygen. Otherwise, that cell goes into a low oxygen environment, and it makes terrible amounts of acid, large amounts of acid, as it shifts to what we call an anaerobic respiration cycle. So pH is very linked to calcium, is very linked to oxygen, is very linked to making sure we minimize the production of acids and we maximize the production of ATP, adenosine triphosphate, so the cell can do what the cell needs to do. Now, that's true. And, of course, the hook to bone loss is once you find yourself in an acidic pH, once you find yourself in a calcium-deficient state, the body's going to dissolve bone to basically make sure that the body buffers the blood and we can keep the pH relatively stable. If the pH gets too acidic, the body's alarm cycles up in the brain go off, and the body goes into a panic mode, and you start producing ammonia. Ammonia is extremely basic. So the body's got this whole buffer system on the back of calcium that has to do with pH, so on and so forth. And we give a tremendous amount of focus to that, and all of that's true. But what gets misunderstood is the pH is only an expression of all your fundamentals. pH is controlled by infection. pH is controlled by your biliary system. pH is controlled by your emotions. pH is controlled by your sleep. pH is controlled by your exercise. pH is controlled by your interference fields. There are literally hundreds of causes of what will throw off a pH. It's not simply your ionized calcium, and it's not simply infections in the teeth. So if you're going to put the entire span of your bony reserve, of your health, on the back of pH, you can do that, but only if you understand that that pH is being controlled by many, many, many things. So this is the misnomer. I think this is where I think people frustrate themselves unnecessarily. They have grave concerns after the age of 60 about bone loss. They go and they have their scans done. They're told they're in some degree of osteoporosis, and they panic. And then they look at their checklist, and on their checklist, unlike the checklist I'm suggesting, they're going to see their calcium, their vitamin D. Are they exercising? Often people are slapping on a little progesterone cream or creams that have progesterone and other things in them. They're out there exercising. They feel that they eat relatively well. And all these things are important, so don't misunderstand me. But if those six or seven concerns are what you call health of bone, and if you add to that then this measurement called pH, you're really, really missing the point. And the proof of it is there are so many people that basically satisfy these variables, and yet they're left in bone loss. And that's because of the fundamentals. You have to shift your concept to a checklist. Say the 87 hours on my radio archives. The 87 shows, each show is one concern that you can think about applying yourself to. Do you get your sleep? Does your bile flow? Are you digesting? So on and so forth. And that's what you do. You kick back, you look at your checklist, and then you make an educated, whether you're under supervision or not, an educated estimation of where you're missing in that list that you've comprised. So we have to look at the principles of health. And after we look at the principles of health, we have to ask ourselves where we're missing. And once we determine where we're missing, then we have to ask ourselves, based on the amount of time, the amount of money, the amount of energy that we have, can we then apply ourselves a little bit more diligently? And that's how you approach bone loss. Now, that's simple. It's simple in the sense that it's general. But it's deep in the sense that you have to understand how each and every one of those principles affects bone loss, because that's what drives compliance. Sleep, for instance. We talk about sleep, and what does sleep have to do with bone loss? Well, obviously, when you sleep, you make your hormones. And when you make your hormones, the hormones are used to do many, many things. The amount of testosterone you circulate, the amount of estrogen you circulate, the amount of progesterone you circulate, all have receptor sites in cortical bone that has a lot to do with the rate at which that bone breaks down and the rate at which that bone builds up. So when a man has more testosterone, when a woman has more estrogen, when a woman has more progesterone, they have more tools to bind to receptor sites in the cortical bone to build it up or break it down at the correct rates. So sleep influences hormone, and hormone influences bone. Infection. Are you infected? It's a question you may ask yourself. Someone may have told you you're infected with this, that, and the other thing. Well, really, we have to understand this, again, in the broader sense, and here's where the education comes in. When you talk about infection, we're all infected. Each and every one of us is infected. Each and every one of us is, in any given moment, holding an entire ecosystem of pathogens in our body. The question is, does the terrain of the body, does the flesh of the body minimize the expression of those infections? In other words, how does the body contain infections, and how much energy does the body have to expend? I'll give you an example. The body disinfects itself with bleach. It makes sodium hypochlorite. And that bleach utilizes calcium. And that calcium has to be fed to the body in appreciable quantities. So if someone's talking about bone loss, they may be talking about the fact that in the totality of what the body has to do to disinfect itself, it's going to have to dissolve bone to make disinfectant. So we say infections eat bone. Of course they do. Bone is good for infection. Bone is where you can eat minerals. And so infection can lodge in the bone, and if it doesn't lodge in the bone will dissolve to buffer the infection. Emotions. Emotions produce chemicals, and those chemicals produce acid. They are, in effect, acid driving. They utilize our alkaline reserves. You don't think of that. You don't really think necessarily that a life of stress will produce acids. Well, one example of this is the production of cortisol. Cortisol is the body's anti-inflammatory, and cortisol, in fact, is necessary to buffer stress. But the side effect of cortisol is that you dissolve bone, and anyone that's taken chronic prednisone, people on prednisone are always told, we don't want to do the prednisone anything more than for the acute phase, because the chronic use of prednisone, the steroidal anti-inflammatory, will dissolve bone. Now look at that. This is what I love to do, and this is what I implore you to take part of, because this is really where health is found, by piecing together concepts. So there you are having nightmares. There you are living a stressful life. There you are in sympathetic dominance. You're in a lifestyle that's frozen your energy flow. And that lifestyle forces off the adrenal gland a higher production of cortisol. And you're wondering why your gums are receding, which is bone loss, and you're wondering why you have low grades of osteoporosis to moderate grades of osteoporosis. Just stress can do that. So when we say pH, and we say pH is really what controls it, no, that is an absolute misnomer. It's everything that controls pH that we have to look at. pH is just an expression of a more balanced body. So your checklist is not calcium and vitamin D and exercise and balanced hormone and some sunshine and eating your fruits and vegetables. It's an entire checklist. It's a portfolio that you go up and down and you look at where you think the bigger grievances live. If you're not getting your sleep and you're under high stress, I don't care what you do with Carl Calcium, or what you do with vitamin D, or what you do with exercise. If you don't get your sleep and you're under stress, you'll go into bone loss. So you understand my point. The person walking into the doctor's office and saying, I thought I've done everything I was supposed to do. I, as the patient or the client, have done due diligence, doctor. And I can't understand, therefore, why I still suffer. What you suffer from is a lack of education. Perhaps not you. I hope you're taking advantage of this show. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. Please get to my website. We have 87 hours on the archives. That's at straighttalk.cc. Straighttalk.cc. You can purchase the archives. They are extremely inexpensive. And they will offer you that checklist. And if you put the time in on your own time, in your spare time, What you're going to begin to do is to understand how to recruit the fundamentals, because the focal, the specific concern with the specific solutions, you can get anywhere. If you have a good supplement and you know where to get great supplements, all right, you know where to get the best herbs you can buy. And that's Premier Research Labs. No doubt about it, across the board. And you know how to apply them. You can get this information anywhere. I think we've got that part of it understood. But the use of the herb, as it applies to fundamentals, the use of the herb as it applies to fundamentals, the use of the herb as it applies to basic fundamental concerns like biliary patency, and so on and so forth. That's what we're not understanding. And this bone loss is a classic representation of it. Let's continue. How about bone loss as it relates to exercise? Bone loss as it relates to exercise is not about cardiovascular health. Bone loss as it relates to exercise, this is subtle, but it's huge, is based upon the tendon being able to pull off the cortical bone in the exercise of choice. You've got to understand a little bit about biomechanics here. When you're doing a chin-up or you're using a weight, as you take the weight or the body part and extend it fully to where you feel it affect the joint, if you take the exercise to where you really stretch out with the weight or hang from that bar or stretch out in that particular yoga pose or stretch out in that particular Pilates pose, and then you contract into the exercise, that first 10 degrees of contraction is where the entire line of your bone, the entire periosteum of the bone, is being pulled upon by the muscular system. And as it's pulled upon by the muscular system, the surface of the bone is stimulated. This is of huge significance to understand this, because we have systems where we accomplish that so beautifully, meaning pulling on the bone via the exercise. We have systems already utilized for many thousands of years where we pull on that bone in the exercise to the point where the bone begins to bend. There's a torsion in bone. And when we pull on that bone, the torsion on the bone stimulates the density of the bone. That is an infinite cry from what Western medicine is suggesting when they tell you to do a little bit of cardio or some other weight-bearing exercise that's really not precise enough to get you to understand the mechanism at work. This is so different than what we're going to talk about a little bit later. So you walk in and you're concerned about your bone loss, and you've hit the three or four central things that everybody does for bone loss. But are you thinking about your sleep? Are you thinking about emotions? Are you thinking about understanding how to exercise to build bone loss? Then, of course, there's biliary patency. Need I say more? Did you ever think that the acidification of the body has much to do with the rate at which you can move those acids out? If you're missing a gallbladder, you have a greater challenge. If your gallbladder's plugged, you have a much greater challenge at alkalizing the body. Thus, the body is always under duress to dissolve more bone, more calcium, to buffer that body. Biliary patency, sleep, the right type of exercise, stress, infection. We could spend two shows on the number of things that are about bone loss. But you see, bone loss and its concern is really mediated by two huge factors, and they're much bigger than anything I've mentioned, and they're very much part of the natural course of living. We've got to make that distinction. We've got to understand that no matter what you do in life, you're going to lose bone. There's really no such thing as we're not losing bone. That's a misnomer. A terrible misunderstanding. When you're 25 years old and you compare yourself to when you're 65 years old, you look different. Most of us do. Like it or not, you age. Yes, we want to minimize the rate. But what you've got to understand is in the natural course of living, bone is lost. Life is to age gracefully, yes, but nonetheless to age. And that's what bone loss is. Bone loss is the result of the aging process. And you have to factor that in because lots of people don't. This line about bone loss, you got to understand, we saw this with cholesterol. A number of years ago, the low end of cholesterol was well into the 200s. 10 years ago, the norm for cholesterol allowed you to have a lot more cholesterol. I think it was up at about 240. That's true. Suddenly, cholesterol over 200 was verboten. It meant heart disease was on the way. The RDA was changed. The minimum was changed. What happened? I think you already know what happened. The statin drugs happened. The minute we can do something about it, it hits the population. All the literature is studied, and it becomes in the physical exam, in what you are told you have to understand to utilize and to keep great health, becomes what we point out to you, which is dependent upon whether we can do something about it. If we don't have a solution for it, then you don't hear about it. And this is what we saw with bone loss. We have drugs that reduce the rate at which bone degrades in the body. Not really. Fosamax and the like play a trick on what we call bone modeling. And we'll get to that in a moment, but the point right now is that what, and the reason osteoporosis is so on the tip of everybody's tongue is because we feel that we have drugs to do something about it. We feel like we have very easy controls over it. And the result of this has been to start to stretch and to start to bend certain fundamental concepts, which is that everybody's in bone loss. We're starting to make people think that to be in osteoporosis, to be in bone loss is not normal. And we're telling them that when we say bone loss, it just means bone loss relative to your age group. And yet we're bending the rules here. We're bending them because we're starting to push the levels and the norms into areas that make undue concern about it. And if you study what we've done with the bone density tests over the last 20, 25 years, you see the point that more and more we're pushing our attention to something that 20 years ago or 30 years ago, we call part of normal aging. You have to keep this in mind because it is probably the single most common statement taken away from physical exams today, each year. Probably the single most common test and most common conclusion that alarms so many people is that they're in bone loss. And if you look at 20, 30 years ago, what you find is that the norms, the demands placed upon compliance to the norm, are becoming ever stricter today. And we saw this with cholesterol also. So you have to keep in mind that a certain amount of bone loss is normal. A certain amount of bone loss is avoidable. But a certain amount of bone metabolism, there is an aspect to bone metabolism we're going to get to now, that's about bringing together much, much deeper concepts. For instance, blood. In many forms of medicine, women lose blood, and that blood loss is considered the central axis of their health. We say women age off birth and blood. Well, let me ask you this. Your average 60-year-old woman, if she's had no children or she's had seven children, which woman do you think is going to present with more bone loss? Seven children, an episiotomy, a set of cesareans, breastfeeding then off seven children for a total of 15 years of her life. And you want to compare that to a female who has not had a single child. Now that's obvious, isn't it? And yet, do you realize that that woman that's had seven children will go to a doctor, find out she's in bone loss, and because the last 5 years of her life have been about taking her calcium, her vitamin D, getting her exercise, she will have grave concern about the status of bone. And this is my point. Fundamentals drive the consideration. There's an example of a fundamental blood loss. The period, the woman's menstrual cycle, from the time she reaches puberty. If you're 20 years old and you've got a 7-day menstrual cycle, if you're going into menopause and you're hemorrhaging, if you really want to talk about bone and how to preserve bone, preserve blood. Blood and bone are the same thing. Because the minute the blood's deficient because a woman bleeds too much, she dissolves bone. The minute a woman depletes hormonally, she dissolves bone. Which is to say, women and children create osteoporosis. Which is to say, women and unregulated menstrual cycles create osteoporosis. Which is to say, if you're 45 years old and you're in bone loss, and you're not looking at your menstrual cycle, you didn't listen to the show. If you're 55 years old and you're in bone loss, and you're overlooking the fact that you've spent maybe 3 decades of your life bearing children, you missed the point. I think that's fascinating. I think while we're running around thinking about estrogen, progesterone, vitamin C, exercise, sunshine, calcium, and vitamin D, we're overlooking concepts that are infinitely more fundamental. Infinitely more fundamental. If you plan on having 3, 4, 5 kids, from the time you have those children, knowing this, understanding this type of information, you would be and should be counseled to the type of lifestyle that can accommodate 3 to 4 to 5 to 6 to 7 children. In the interest of bone loss, on the tip of everybody's tongue, should be the interest of indoctrinating young women into what it takes to birth a healthy baby and what it takes to stay anabolic, non-depleted, through her childbearing years and when she's raising her children in those first 3, 4 years of her life. Again, fundamentals. This is a show designed for you to understand how the real cost-effective insight into your health is based on applying basic concepts. Women lose blood, and that's what ages them. To support that blood loss, they dissolve bone, and that's why they change shape. You see this so clearly when women have many children. Unless what? Unless they understood how to hedge against this. Unless what? There's another side to bone loss, and that is, how much bone are you born with? That's right. There is great variability in how much bony reserve you have based upon your gestation, based upon your genes, and based upon how you're fed those first 9 months up to those first 4 years of life. Breastfeeding, of course, needless to say. But here's the concept. Some people are born with more bone. Some people are born with greater density bone. Now, you may figure this out on your own. But the concept here is to understand that knowing yourself and knowing the density of bone in your body tells you just how much you have to expend on your reserve. The thicker the bone, the more pliable the bone, the more reserve. The stiffer the bone, the thinner the bone. Small boned people have less reserve. They can have tremendous amounts of energy, but they undoubtedly have less reserve. That's something to understand. We understood this on the farm years ago. On the farm years ago, in the lineage of Western culture included, we understood how to look at a female and say, those hips will bear children. Those hips will bear three children. Those childbearing hips will bear six children. Those hips will not bear children. And we may lose the female during birth. This is how people thought at one time. Athletes are prized for their bone structure. Athletes are understood to be stronger. It's why they're athletes. If you look at people today and you look at the bone densities and you compare them to people at the turn of the century, you can clearly see we're producing lineages with less bone. Now, why is this relevant to osteoporosis? Because you may be one of those people that was born with less, that you even know that is the point of this show. It will come down to education every single time. If you're born with less, you have to take the steps to preserve more. If you're born with more, you may understand yourself to be Superman, and you have to take the steps not to deplete yourself from excessive lifestyle. And that's where the men come in. And I'm going to say something that I'll back very passionately, and that is, for as much as women lose bone by birth and loss of blood, men lose bone by excessive copulation. Excessive loss of seminal fluid accelerates greatly the rate at which men age and lose bone. There's another one your urologist won't tell you. There's another one the guys that prescribe Viagra won't get into. And yet, this is so evidenced. It is evidenced in nature. It is evidenced in sports. It is evidenced as medicine, in medicine, as long as we observe people. I should have a dollar for every person I've heard, and I'm sure in the male audience right now, there are dozens of men who will attest to the fact that after the age of 60, after ejaculation, even the age of 50, the bones ache. The knees ache. The low back gets stiff. Think about that, gentlemen. Think about the loss of sperm and the loss of energy. Think about the loss of sperm and the fact that your back gets stiff. It starts to ache. It begins to inflame. Think about the loss of sperm and the fact that your knees throb. Think about the loss of sperm and you start to go into the sweats. That's when the loss of sperm begins to put the body in a state of deficiency. And what does the body do in a state of deficiency? We've said it 100 times today. It will dissolve bone. What does the body do in a state of deficiency as a woman is chronically depleting of blood? It dissolves bone. What does the body do as the female goes through all the steps to produce breast milk and all the other hormones necessary to have children, to birth children, so on and so forth? It dissolves bone. Wow. Come on now, integrate this with me. Integrate it. It means if you're going to go off to some seminar about bone loss, read some book about bone loss, pay some good money for supplementation for bone loss, and you're not considering the fact that you're bleeding out 7 days a week, you're relatively speaking wasting your money. If you're 50 years old and you're just used to ejaculating 2-3 times a week, four times a week, every single day, whatever it is, I'll leave that to you. But you can be depleting your body. And if you're feeling the signs, now I'm asking you to piece it together. Fascinating. So what is bone loss? Bone loss is emotion. Bone loss is the right kind of exercise. We'll get to it. Bone loss is, does the bile flow? Bone loss is controlling your infections by inducing the proper terrain, or the infections will eat the bone, or the body's got to use too much calcium to fight the infection. Women not losing a lot of blood. 18-year-old women not bleeding out 7 days a week. You wouldn't think about bone loss in a female at 18 if she's bleeding out 7 days a week, because that period is just imbalanced for all these reasons that periods imbalance. We're looking at stress to the bony system. Everything on the 87 hours of my archives creates bone loss. You got to take that one into yourself, gang. All 87 hours, the totality of every health system in the body, in the totality of it, when you end up in the red, meaning bankrupt, meaning you have to dip into reserve, you will dissolve bone. When in the totality of it, all checklists checked and considered, you end up in the black, you will grow bone. And this imbalance between the two, this relationship between bone loss and bone growth, forevermore, we will have to respect. So bone loss is simply another way of saying, where's the balance of my health and how do I improve it? The icing on the cake is not the way we think of bone. The higher purpose for this show today, I submit to you right now, the higher purpose for this show today is to understand that holistic medicine isn't looking at the right concern. Holistic medicine is letting itself be dictated to by the public, and the public is innocent. So everybody's concern is about osteoporosis, bone loss. The bone is made of the outside, the shell of the bone, the cortical bone, the cortical bone. Inside the cortical bone is the bone marrow, the marrow of the bone. Health is not about the cortical bone. Forget that. Forget osteoporosis. Forget osteopenia. The real focus, the real intention, the real place where you can find your soul in your body is in the marrow of the bone. That lecture shook me to my marrow, all the way to bone marrow soup. We have always understood the Celts. Thousands of years ago, the people that built Stonehenge, the same tribes, would put the sacrum around the neck and hang it as a pendant. And in that sacrum, today we harvest our stem cells in the marrow of the sacrum. Why does sacrum mean the word sacred? Why has the English transcribed off the Latin, and why did the word mean sacred? It was the sacred bone, that triangular bone at the base of the spine, just below the fifth lumbar vertebra, that triangular bone, the sacroiliac joint, the sacrum. Cut it open and pull out the stem cells. Stem cells, that's a word on the tip of everybody's tongue today, because it's at the cusp of scientific knowledge and the stem cell that we're going to engineer people to live forever. We're going to regenerate organs that were dying, so we won't need heart transplants and kidney transplants and liver transplants. And you bet that day will come. The day already came. The day already came thousands of years ago, but we're not looking at bone the right way. And this is the point of the show. Why are we looking at bone as vitamin D and calcium and the rest of this? You can learn that in 10 minutes on the internet. The truth about bone is in the marrow. The truth about bone is to understand that bone is where the electrical force of the body is generated, because this is the prolific site for stem cell production. And people understood this at one time. Thus, the word sacrum. Sacred. Thus, the sacral pump. Thus, the sacrum, if you train your body, it gets soft. If the sacrum gets soft, it begins to bend. Pilates instructors understand this. Yoga instructors understand this. Martial artists understand this. All the power generated from the root of the body as a punch is thrown, or a bat is swung, or a tennis ball is hit, is generated from the sacrum. And what we call aging is when the sacrum becomes rigid and stiff. That stiffness in the sacrum depletes the production of stem cell. But this is going on systemically. This isn't just about the sacrum. This is about every bone of the body. Take obesity and strip away the fat. Take then a slender body that's rigid and make it flexible. Bring that flexibility into the joints. Cross fiber off the muscle. Cross fiber the muscle and pull it off the bone. Pull it, not literally, but knead it off the bone to dig out the adhesions on the skin of the bone. Strip the fat. Cross fiber the musculature, stretch the tendons, and when your body's moving then, when you're moving, when you're exercising, like the Surgeon General tells you to exercise, when you're exercising off your education, you understand that in that stripped condition, when you stretch your joints, you bend the bone. You bend the bone. When the bone bends, the cortical bone, the hard bone, is bent. The marrow is stimulated when the hard bone is bent. But you can only bend the bone if you've trained your body to be capable of bending the bone. But if the bone is bent with enough frequency and intensity, the marrow is stimulated with enough frequency and intensity. And the marrow will enhance its production of stem cells. The marrow will enhance its production of stem cells. And in that reality is certain proof of how divinely engineered we are, truly divinely engineered we are. And the root of many, many traditions of health were trying to get people to understand this. Ancient Greek, ancient Italian, ancient Middle Eastern, ancient Indian, ancient Chinese, ancient African, ancient South American. When the ecosystems were cleaner, when people were forced to look at nature, to subjugate themselves, to have humility in the eyes of the divinely inspired nature, when people lived within it and respected it and followed it, they understood how to use dance and movement as a means of bending the body to the point where, in communion with a fine and fertile ecosystem, we could produce higher and finer chemicals in the body. You heard me talk about dynorphin a few weeks ago. Go back and listen to that show. Dynorphin, endorphin, enkephalin, stem cells. Think about it. Dynorphin, enkephalin, endorphin, stem cells. Think about it. Go to the archives, straighttalk.cc, listen to the shows again, and understand that within what we call Homo sapien are systems available to you, if you'll employ them, that take health to that para-physiological level. It's really, really there. And I know people who do this. And I have people that I have counseled that do it. And my loved ones do it. And we get better at it. And that's really what holistic medicine is about. So think of that as it relates to your concern about bone loss. So if you and I are having a conversation, if you sit down before me, I saw a wonderful person the other day, wonderful couple in my office, and she had this concern about bone loss. So there she was from some tribe that originated in Europe, a good Christian woman from a fiery tribe of Europe long ago, concerned about bone loss. And she's talking to me about bone loss. And she's thinking in terms of this, and I'm thinking in terms of this show today. We have to close the gap. You have to indulge me and close the gap. The school. I am starting a third school in Costa Mesa. And I'm going to do it out of my center there, which is a library, an AV center, and it will grow out in many ways. But one of the primary drivers on this is to bring the people of the Southland now together in communion to understand the types of concepts I try to get across on the radio. And I've done this in the Northland for a full year with two groups, and I think we've gotten fantastic results. It's a beautiful thing to be able to watch somebody think of bone on so superficial a level and with a minimal investment of time and energy and money to start to understand the deeper levels. The deeper levels are what's exciting, because truly there isn't disease. There's only imbalance. There isn't a symptom. There's only what systems can we bring into alignment to get rid of that symptom. What I am going to do, I'm going to really destroy. I shouldn't use that word, but I want to bring a deeper level to this symptom herb theory. I want to bring a deeper level so that you understand how all these systems integrate. Bone being probably more central. Bone is considered the central energy line of the body. Bone and the hypothalamic pituitary cranial axis. Bone and an aligned bite with a pituitary and a hypothalamus in relationship to the bone marrow. Growth hormone. Growth hormone out of the pituitary, growth hormone that we synthetically synthesize and inject or put into people's bodies as the cure-all, can be stimulated by pumping the cranial plates. The cranial plates can be stimulated by pumping the sacrum. If the sacrum and the cranium are in conjunction with each other and the bones can bend, you've set up an electrical current. The fabled martial artist, the 5'90" man that stands in the middle of the dojo and has a 6'9", 300-pound football player try to knock him off his feet and defies that, has succeeded at what I'm talking about. I'm going to put a picture of Jack LaLanne. I've got a book of Muscle Beach in Venice in the 40s, before we had steroids. These guys, these mastodons, these Amazons of physical perfection, all pre-steroid, were as flexible as ballerinas. They understood exactly what I'm talking about. These were the traditions of the American strongmen. These were garnered, evolved traditions that were taken from older times. All the ancient strongmen, Charles Atlas, Jack LaLanne, they understood these things. And I'm going to post, I already have posted to the website that picture of Jack LaLanne. It was two or three shows ago. That comes from a book that I'm going to put on the website very shortly. And the point is, this connection between health from the head, health from the lower area, flexibility, nutrition, and something about an electrical glow to the body, human potential, was understood. We've relegated all of this. We've brought this to a lower level when we talk about supplementation only on the interest or on the level of fix the symptom. And this is what my health center in Costa Mesa is about. It's about bringing people to a higher level. And I think the people down there really get this. I think Costa Mesa really, really vibrates to this pitch. And I think their business model down there is very, very effective. It should stand really, really as a model for so many other places in California, which is a state that's in the red, because I don't think it understands what the business community in Costa Mesa does. So I want to put an educational center there, and I've taken the first steps. 949-873-2127. 949-873-2127. Call my office staff. Get on the website, straighttalk.cc. Tell your friends about the archives. Get to work, and we'll just keep going. Fabulous. Bone loss. Forevermore, bone loss will mean your general health. You will never again, after the five or six topical solutions to it, ever worry about it any more than you worry about your general health. All right, we'll see you next week. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. Ciao.
Been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.